It's not just the justice system. Congo as a whole faces huge problems. Civil war, sexual violence, corruption, to name three. In about 12 months, the country holds elections, and citizens there will have a chance to weigh in on how well their government is addressing those problems. The World's Jeb Sharp reports.
Tony Gambino is an independent consultant who has worked on Congo issues for the U.S. government, the United Nations, and the World Bank. He has a real sense of urgency about next year's elections.
Congo suffers from a crisis of governance, which is not new. Unfortunately, Congo has been poorly governed for at least the last 40 years.
The government can't even protect its own citizens from the worst kind of violence, especially in the eastern part of the country, where armed groups continue to prey on civilians. That's one reason there's widespread dissatisfaction with the current government, Gambino says. He argues that next year's elections must be free and fair if they are to help stabilize the country.
This is how one moves away from a warlord-dominated, corrupt circumstance when people who are looking to move their society in a different direction into positions of power. If you think about it, there are only really two ways that that can happen. It either happens through normal order, which is elections, as it should be, or it happens violently.
Gambino says the international community has a major role to play in laying the groundwork for those elections. Congo needs an estimated $300 million from donors to prepare. Gambino thinks America should provide a big chunk of that.
In places where we are really committed to seeing success, a minimal U.S. contribution to the elections would be on the order of $50 million or up. Right now, the United States intends to provide $4 million to the elections. That's a scandalous level.
State Department officials give a slightly different number of $5.2 million over 2 years, but Cynthia Akuete, director for Central Africa at the State Department, acknowledges Gambino's point.
What he's saying is true, meaning the funding that we have for the election could be larger, but we also have to confront our own budget constraints in the United States.
And is there any chance that that item in the budget could increase, or is that out of the question in the next 12 months?
I don't want to rule anything out of the question, but I'm also very nervous to be able to very soundly say we're going to do more given the budget climate in the United States now.
I mean, I guess it could mean reapportioning money within the Congo budget, though.
If you look at the other programs that we're doing, which are all critical, I don't think that anything that we're doing is fluff.
It sure doesn't sound like fluff. U.S. aid to Congo runs close to $200 million a year and goes to treating and combating sexual violence, reforming the army and police, development aid, dealing with HIV and malaria.
All of these are also critical because if you don't have a healthy population, if you don't have a well-educated population, that's also important for fostering democracy and fostering citizen participation.
As always, there's a bigger picture to contend with. But even if money weren't an issue, national elections shouldn't necessarily be the top priority, says Severine Otisser. She's a former aid worker turned academic who's written a new book called The Trouble with the Congo. She says the entire international effort in Congo from 2003 to 2007 was focused on elections.
And we have seen the results. Elections have taken place. They have not led to a democratic government. We know from previous research that elections by themselves do not lead to democracy and to good governance unless specific conditions are in place. We need freedom of press, freedom of campaigning, freedom of speech, and we don't have these conditions in the Congo as of now.
Otisser thinks the whole international peacebuilding apparatus in Congo focuses too much on top-down solutions and not enough on bottom-up ones. Hold national elections by all means, she says, but if you want the violence to stop, start devoting far more resources to helping Congolese villagers in rural areas resolve their local conflicts over land and power. For The World, I'm Jeb Sharp.